well-regulated militia be necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. I mean, I guess the one good news is we don't have any more bad news from the Supreme Court coming out today. We are going to be talking about the decision not to grant cert to Snope in Ocean State Tactical with John Comerford from NRA's Institute for Legislative Action. Also going to be talking about the latest on the reconciliation bill, which, you know, passed out of the House. Now the one big, beautiful bill over in the Senate, John Thune, Senate Majority Leader, says he wants to get it done by July the 4th. President Donald Trump says he wants to see that bill approved by the Senate by July the 4th as well. So, I mean, that's, you know, listen, I mean, it's a month from now, but that's not long at all in D.C. time. Right. So things are going to be moving pretty quickly here. And we want to make sure that the language repealing the taxes on suppressors, repealing the registration requirement, which is tied in to that tax on suppressors, that language is included in the reconciliation bill when the Senate gets a chance to vote on it. So we'll talk with John Comerford about that as well. Also, news from Maine, where anti-gunners are trying to get a red flag law on the books via a voter referendum. And anti-gun Democrats in the state legislature are willing to give them a helping hand by violating state law, apparently. So a lot of topics to discuss with NRA ILA Executive Director John Comerford. Take a look and a listen. John, thanks very much for coming on the program. It's good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
So I don't know if your reaction was the same as mine yesterday. I can't really repeat what my first reaction was when I got the news from the Supreme Court that they denied cert in Snope and Ocean State Tactical after months of considering these cases in conference. But I imagine that bitterly disappointed is an understatement for you.
Well, they were relisted, I think, 15 times. Mm-hmm. So when you get out of the single digits, your hope for, really, when you get out of the mid-single digits, your hope for success there on being granted cert declined. So I kind of was mentally prepared by our attorneys here. But nonetheless, it's still disappointing. The Supreme Court does need to take up a hardware case in this post-Bruin world. However, take a look at what Justice Thomas said. You know, being Justice Thomas, that the Second Amendment's being treated as a second-class right. We all know that. I just wish the additional members of the Supreme Court felt that way. But when you look at what Kavanaugh said, you could tell that he did not vote to grant cert. But what did he say? The court will have to deal with this issue in the next year or two. Mm-hmm. That tells me and tells our staff here that he's taking a look at the cases on the way to the Supreme Court, and there must be something he likes. You know, NRA is involved in, I believe, four different hardware cases on firearms. But the first hardware case that's going to be up next is the Duncan case, which NRA is fully funded out of California since inception. And with when we won with Bruin, that's went back to step one. So that thing has been en banc a couple times. We've won at the district level. We've had expert testimony. It is a far, far more comprehensive case than Snope or Ocean State Tactical. So we're hoping to get that there. We're hoping that they grant cert on that issue as well. And the deadline for the cert petition is on June 18th. So we'll be filing it by then, as well as our under 21 gun ban case out of Florida, which we've already filed cert in that case.
Yeah, we're waiting on Florida's response, which is going to be interesting given that the attorney general does not want to defend the statute there. I'm curious to see what that reply brief looks like. And, you know, going back to what Kavanaugh said, I mean, it's interesting because Kavanaugh basically said, yeah, you know, there's a really strong case that the Fourth Circuit got it wrong in upholding Maryland's ban, which makes you wonder, OK, so why did Kavanaugh not vote to grant cert? We know that there were three other justices who did, and we don't know the answer. I mean, this is all mindless speculation. But are you concerned, John, that there may be four votes to overturn, you know, a semi-auto ban? But that fifth vote is still elusive right now.
I think that that's where the fact pattern, that's where the case, that's where that all comes into play. So if the fact pattern wasn't correct, or they didn't like the standard the case was argued under, they didn't, you know, how it was brought, things like these are all speculative items. But again, it boils down to they are not they are not, someone like Kavanaugh is not going to vote to grant cert on a case that he knows they don't have the majority on.
Yeah.
But I think they've probably talked about this. And I think that's probably why he made the comments that he did. I mean, it's, I wish we had a crystal ball and we could interpret, or a psychic here, I guess, to interpret what the Supreme Court does. He probably could get rich quick. But we look into that and kind of read the tea leaves, and that's sort of what we see. So the good news is for gun owners, you're not going to have to wait long to see where the Supreme Court lands on the next case, because the under 21 when there has already been filed, and then we'll have the hardware case filed, and then there is NRA's involvement in an SBR case, which is going to be cert is going to be filed as well soon. So there's a lot of trains headed to that station. So we'll see if they take anything.
From a legislative standpoint, how concerned are you? I mean, again, Kavanaugh went out of his way to say, listen, this doesn't mean that the court is endorsing the Fourth Circuit's opinion, where we're not saying anything about the constitutionality of these gun bans. But I've already seen headlines and stories that have said, you know, this is a victory for gun control groups. From a legislative standpoint, how concerned are you that this is going to embolden anti-gun Democrats, particularly in blue states where they control the legislature, to, you know, go ahead and move forward with bans on commonly owned semi-automatic rifles and shotguns?
Well, they're going to continue to claim that a ban on commonly owned firearms is constitutional, and we're going to continue to claim that it's unconstitutional. And we know it's unconstitutional. It's just the Supreme Court, I wish they'd operate the way we all hope they would, but again, it's a complex beast, and we need to have the right facts to get the right case there. Look at Bruin. I mean, it took a long time to get that, and that changed the entire playing field for Second Amendment litigation. So the blue states are going to continue to blue state. The petri dishes for bad ideas like California and Massachusetts and Maryland and others, they're gonna keep doing what they're doing, but we're gonna keep fighting. I think the New Jersey assault weapons case is the next one that's up for oral argument, I believe, at the end of this month. With yep. Aaron Murphy is our counsel record there, who's tied with Paul Clement. They're partners, and as we know, Paul won the Bruin case, so good representation there. But these cases, they're on their way, and it's going to take time to get them there, and it's extremely expensive. It's a multi-million dollar effort to go from start to finish. And keep in mind, if they would have granted cert in one of these two cases, I wish they would have, but every other case that's out there that's even remotely related would be stayed. So it would put a giant pause on other Second Amendment litigation out there. So if you can turn your frown upside down on one issue, it's we're going to continue to litigate numerous other Second Amendment issues in the meantime, until they grant cert in one of these cases.
Yeah. Now, speaking of complex issues, let's switch from the judiciary to the legislative branch for a second here, yep. Because, you know, we have been told July 4th, that is the sort of self-imposed deadline for the Senate to get this reconciliation bill through. Saw that Senate Majority Leader John Thune said that they will abide by the parliamentarian's rulings on, you know, what is contained within this reconciliation bill. And I'm sure you've seen, you know, the stories that have been out there as well, talking about the concern that the Hearing Protection Act, or at least Section 2 of the HPA, might be ruled out of order by the Senate parliamentarian. What are you hearing right now from the Hill, John?
Well, it all boils down to the Byrd test. Right? The Senate Finance Committee is in support of this section. Chairman Crapo is a great supporter of the Second Amendment. He's the author of the Hearing Protection Act. His committee is the Committee of Jurisdiction for the vast majority of this bill, the entire one big beautiful bill. And there are other members of the committee who are strongly pushing for this. There are members of that committee that have very tough primaries. And this issue could help them in the primary. That's how Washington gets business done. And we're on the right side of that this time. Sometimes we're on the wrong side of that. But you're gonna see a race to the finish. Now, the Senate operates differently. There won't be any surprises on when this bill comes up to the floor. It won't be in the middle of the night. They may go all night. But there'll be days of notice ahead of time. And so I encourage everybody to stay tuned in. Go to NRAILA.org and sign up for our alerts. I'm not going to fundraise from you. It's solely to activate you when we need you for times like this, a potential once-in-a-generation opportunity to right this unconstitutional wrong. But let me touch on the Byrd rule quickly. It boils down to revenue versus policy in the simplest form. What folks are looking at on why they don't feel it passes the Byrd test is because they think of gun control. They think of registration. They think of fingerprinting and all these as a gun control punitive policy measure. You have to look at the congressional intent and the historical application of the NFA and suppressors and SBRs and everything else. It was solely designed as a punitive revenue generating mechanism. It was double the price of a Thompson at the time. But the registration, the carrying around a copy of your Form 4, the tax stamp in and of itself, its only existence is to prove to the government you paid a tax. It'd be like if they required you to walk around with your tax return. So to argue that it's not Byrd compliant, I don't know what would be. It's just a novel concept because it's nearly 100 years old. So the senators will need to litigate that with the parliamentarian and show there's Supreme Court language from the 30s. There's all sorts of things to show intent that it was revenue generation oriented. And that's why we feel it's Byrd compliant.
I got to say, I mean, I agree with you. I think that it is Byrd compliant because, Representative Clyde said, if you take away the tax, well, there's no need to register, right? Because basically the registration is proving that you've paid that tax, as you say. So if there's no tax for you to pay, then why would that registration requirement even exist?
Right.
So I'm with you, and I hope that the parliamentarian is with us as well on this issue.
And Leader, real quick, Cam, and Leader Thune, I mean, he's a great supporter of the Second Amendment. I can totally understand in the position he's in why he would make those comments as he did. No one wants to overrule the parliamentarian. No one wants to have to fire the parliamentarian. However, I'd task your listeners with paying attention over the next few weeks, because it will actually be done on the floor. That's when the point of order will be called and the parliamentarian will actually rule. If some of the president's top priorities start being struck from this bill beyond the Second Amendment provisions, pay attention to Truth Social, because I think the commenting is going to be interesting regarding the parliamentarian. But we're hopeful that she does the right thing and says it's compliant, because a lot of us feel it is.
Absolutely. And I'm right there with you. All right. One more thing before we let you go, John. I know you got to get back to work, but I saw and wrote about this at Bearing Arms. It's going to be up this afternoon. In fact, by the time folks hear this interview, I think the story will be posted. Up in Maine, there's a red flag referendum that's on the ballot. Maine has this yellow flag law in place, and we can argue, the intricacies of that. But basically, it has more due process protections than a red flag law. It has a mental health component, which red flag laws do not. But the gun control groups, they don't like that, right? They want to weaken that standard. They want to have this red flag law on the books. And there's a state law in Maine that says, okay, all of these ballot initiatives, there has to be a public hearing held by the joint standing committee of, whatever topic this is that they oversee. So I guess this would be the Judiciary Committee in Maine. And yet the state senator in charge of the Judiciary Committee says that they're not going to hold a public hearing, that even though there's a law, the state constitution doesn't require it. Which she says means there's a conflict between the state constitution and state law, which I think is absolutely absurd. But I know that NRA, Gun Owners of Maine, Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, and several Republican lawmakers had a press conference yesterday basically threatening a lawsuit over this if they do not let the public to weigh in. Is the NRA prepared to move forward with litigation here?
Look, the anti-gun left, when they're trying to deprive law-abiding Americans of a constitutional right, ex parte without due process, why would they follow the law? I don't think that's a shock. However, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure they do follow the law. And this needs to be heard. It's our state director up there, Justin Davis, does a great job at keeping our members informed. And we have good partners up there at Sportsman's Alliance of Maine and others. And we need to hold these lawmakers accountable, particularly when it comes to something as important as unconstitutional red flag gun confiscation laws. I mean, again, these lawmakers, what are they focused on? They're not focused on the threat. They're focused on vilifying firearms and leaving someone in a more pissed off state in their living room. That's not the way you deal with a threat. So stay tuned on that. And we're gonna hold them accountable as far as we can.
Any plans, if the legislature is not going to hold a public hearing, are there any plans to have hearings or town hall meetings put on by the NRA, by Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, to educate the public about, the the devil's in the details of this referendum.
Well, look, the grassroots is critically important to Second Amendment issues. That's what gives power to Second Amendment organizations. It's not money. It's the activism and the voting of our members and gun owners out there. So we'll do whatever we can to motivate gun owners against this unconstitutional effort. And town halls are a great idea. We're going to be all over the state on this issue and activating our members and gun owners whenever possible.
Awesome. John, listen, again, thank you so much for carving out some time today. It's always good talking with you. I really appreciate it. Folks can get more at NRAILA.org, and I look forward to having you back on the show very soon, sir.
Thanks for having me, Cam.
And thanks to John for coming on the program today. Looking forward to having him back again here before long. And, you know, he's right. Obviously, we all wanted to see Snope granted cert, but he is right that there are other cases that are percolating. Duncan, which is a mag ban case, that I think is going to be considered in the fall term by the time the Supreme Court gets the reply brief from California. Same with the under 21 gun ban. I suspect that by the time the state, and again, I'm very curious to see what the state's reply is going to be. By the time that state reply comes in, the court is either going to have adjourned for the summer recess or will probably be about a week or so away from adjourning. And so those both likely to be taken up when the court gets back to D.C. in the fall. And then again, the question is whether or not they will grant cert to either of those cases. The under 21 issue is a big issue. And again, there's a circuit court split, right? You've got some circuits like the Eighth Circuit that have said, yeah, 18-year-olds are a part of the political community. Therefore, they must be invested with the right to keep and bear arms. And you've got like the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that has declared 19, 18, 20-year-olds to be minors. Because they were kind of considered minors back in 1791, so they should be considered minors in 2025, saying that, no, it's fine to deny adults under the age of 21 the ability to purchase a handgun or a firearm in general at retail. This is an issue, again, that the appellate courts have been split on, and it's one of those issues where the Supreme Court really should take up a case and weigh in sooner rather than later, but we will see what happens with that case as well as the California mag ban case come fall. All right, right now let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We will start there with a headline from CWB Chicago. 8 years for carjacking Lyft driver while awaiting trial for 7 juvenile cases. That's right, 7. Apparently, none of those 7 resulted in Octavian Miller being held in custody until one or more of those cases went to trial. Octavian Miller pleaded guilty to aggravated vehicular hijacking with a weapon. Judge Sophia Atchison in Cook County handing down an 8-year prison sentence for Miller. The Lyft driver, according to CWB Chicago, had a gun pointed at him, was ordered out of his car early on May 16th of last year. Miller was quickly taken into custody. According to the Chicago Police Department, when Miller bailed out of a Kia, he apparently had a unloaded handgun. At least they found one in the alley where Miller had bailed out. Which apparently was also equipped with a illegal switch to make it fire full auto. Officers also found a black ski mask, victim's credit card, and the victim's wallet in front of the house next door to where Miller began running. The Lyft driver arrived at the scene, identified Miller as the person who pointed a gun at him and took his car. CWB Chicago says the outcomes of the 7 cases that Miller had pinned in at the time of the hijacking are not available because juvenile records are shielded from public view, despite the seriousness of any potential charges. But the website does note that Miller, despite that 8-year sentence, is not going to serve 8 years. He is expected to be paroled in April of 2028, so less than 3 years from now. Why is that? Well, state law basically gives you 50% good behavior credit, right? So 1 day off your sentence for every day that you don't get into trouble behind bars. And Miller served 385 days or earned 385 days of credit while he was in the Cook County Jail awaiting trial. So yeah, less than 4 years to serve on an 8-year sentence, I would call that a pretty good deal for a violent felon there in Cook County, Illinois. On to today's armed citizen story from South Carolina, where a man has been charged in a burglary in Darlington County. The sheriff's office says that the intruder was shot in this incident by the homeowner. This was back on May 28th. Deputies actually responded to a local hospital in reference to an individual with a gunshot wound. And then shortly thereafter, they got a call in reference to a shooting on a Martin Luther King Boulevard in Darlington County. Darlington County Sheriff's Office says both of those incidents were connected, saying that the shooting actually took place inside of the residence on Martin Luther King Boulevard, but it was the result of a home invasion. And the individual who was shot is believed to be one of the intruders in the incident. Tyquan Edwards, now charged with first-degree burglary, as well as a breach of peace of a high and aggravated nature, currently being held in the W. Glenn Campbell Detention Center since bond was denied there. No word on the armed citizen who shot the would-be intruder, but police say they are still investigating this, and hopefully we'll learn a little bit more information, but we might not, honestly, because this person was the victim of a crime. So it's okay if their name's not released. It's okay if, frankly, we don't know any more about that individual other than the fact that they're not facing charges for protecting themselves from a home invasion. And finally today, our good deed of the day in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. A delivery driver in Omaha, Nebraska, who's getting some credit for helping a man cross the street. Now, you might be wondering, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, here's a picture that was taken by a bystander who just happened to see this FedEx driver helping this individual who, again, wheelchair bound, not in a position to quickly make it across a very busy street. KETV covered the story after a viewer, again, saw what was going on and took that picture. Melissa Fry was the reporter, and in her story, she asked, do you know this FedEx driver who was caught on camera doing a pretty selfless thing? Well, as a result of that news story, yeah, we actually do know a little bit more. Javon Hall is the FedEx driver in question. He was delivering packages last Thursday. He said, I was finishing up a delivery, and as I was walking out, he just asked for help. And he said it was just kind of a natural thing. I just said, yeah. So he paused his deliveries. And he said, you know, with this intersection, it's kind of like an incline. He said it would have been a lot for him to get up. But I was just glad that I was there to help him. He said that helping others is something that comes naturally. It's just how his mom raised him. So he pushed this gentleman in the wheelchair to the local library. And he said that he and the guy just then went their separate ways. He said it was really cool. He said, I just didn't get his name at all. But when Javon Hall was being interviewed by KETV there at the scene of the good deed, who shows up but the man that Javon Hall helped out? His name was Tuan. And Tuan wanted to share his thanks. He said, Hall is a rescuer, just like any firefighter. And Tuan, born with a physical disability, uses a wheelchair to get around. He says that his disability makes it hard to get a job. And he says it's impossible to go up this particular hill. He used to have an electric wheelchair, but it broke. So now he's using a manual wheelchair. He says the front wheel locks up constantly. And he says that without help, he really can't cross that intersection safely. Hopefully, as a result of this good deed, maybe Tuan will be the beneficiary of another. And maybe a kind soul will help him get back in an electric wheelchair there in Omaha. But in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. You know, some of these stories that we cover, I mean, big, right? Pulling people from a burning building, extricating people from a car wreck before their car catches on fire. This really was just a good deed, right? Really is just being in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Javon Hall, I'm sure, a very busy guy. You know, if you're a delivery driver, you got to keep to your schedule. You're not really supposed to take unauthorized breaks. And when you do, you end up further behind. So it would have been really easy for him to drive by or walk past this guy and say, hey, you know, man, I'd love to help, but I can't. I got to make this delivery. Got to stay on schedule. And he didn't. You know, he saw somebody who could use a little bit of help, and he provided that help. And I'd like to think that that's something that we would all do, but it's not, quite frankly. Maybe all of us, all of the Bearing Arms Camp and Company listeners, because I know that you're outstanding individuals, but in society at large, no. There are unfortunately plenty of people who would walk right by Tuan, let it be somebody else's problem, and or let somebody else, you know, provide the solution to Tuan's problem. And in this case, Javon Hall did not do that. So in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing for a stranger in need, we thank you for your very, very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. I'm looking forward to seeing you again tomorrow. But be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day for the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. And if you like what you see, I would encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum member. You'll get all kinds of great benefits with every level of support. If you are a VIP Gold or VIP Platinum member, you can take part in our weekly live chat with Hot Air's Ed Morrissey and myself. That happens every Wednesday, 1:30 Eastern. We'd love for you to be a part of it. Use the promo code FIGHT when you sign up for your VIP membership. You get 60% off, which is a great deal. And you will be supporting the independent pro-Second Amendment journalism that we're doing at Bearing Arms. And we greatly appreciate that support. I will be on Newsmax in the 5 p.m. Eastern hour with Carl Higbee for 2A Tuesday. So be sure to check that out as well. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well. Be safe. And be free.